The U.S. Supreme Court last year struck down a law that generally banned sports betting. And since then, states including New Jersey, New Mexico, and Pennsylvania have legalized it. Many others have introduced bills to legalize sports betting, including Arizona. Senate Bill 1158 would allow Arizona tribes to operate sports betting and sets out other guidelines for how that'd work. The measure is scheduled to be heard in a Senate committee this morning. With me to talk about what that could mean for Arizona are Steve Hart, an attorney with the firm Lewis & Rocha, who practices Indian law and gaming law, among other things, and economist Jim Rounds, president of Rounds Consulting. And Steve, let me start with you on this. How complicated or not of an issue is this to implement in Arizona?
I don't think it's terribly difficult, but you do have to, you know, make sure that you're applying, you know, the right law to the right circumstance. So if you want to have sports betting in what I would call the off-reservation environment, then you're going to need a state statute to do that. Conversely, if you're going to have sports betting on reservation in the current gaming facilities, then you're going to need what they call a compact. And a compact is a federally required document that is much like a treaty between the state and the tribes that authorizes games. That's a little more complicated than just doing a bill for one game because, frankly, there's a number of games and a number of other things involved in a compact.
When it looks like what state lawmakers are trying to do here is to allow sports betting in tribal casinos, but also allow Indian tribes to almost subcontract out to other entities to also allow sports betting.
It's very clear in the compact that if the tribes do not operate the new game, then there's a violation of what's called the exclusivity provisions. And those are, you know, that would yield, if that were to happen, there would be a reduction, significant reduction in the limits on gaming. And there would be a significant reduction in the amount of money that the state receives from gaming. Right now, it's about $100 million. It would drop significantly if that were to happen. So that's an important variable in all of this, and exclusivity and how that works. And so it's a lot easier if the tribe is the sole operator. It's a lot safer from a, you know, from a legal risk perspective.
Jim, does anybody have any sense of, if sports betting becomes legal in Arizona, how much money it could bring into the state?
There are a lot of unknowns. I've heard some quotes of $20 million, and I've heard others of $200 million. But the problem is we don't know. And when you don't know what kind of revenues may come in from a change in policy, you have to be very careful with how you spend it. You don't want to spend more than you're bringing in, obviously. So this falls into one of those categories that just started coming up in the last couple of years, whether it be that Wayfair case where we can tax
online sales,
recreational marijuana, gaming. And so I think that these are more prevalent now because we went through a lot of that Red for Ed, Invest in Ed stuff last year and those proposed tax increases. Now people are looking at, if something's going to happen anyways, should we go ahead and try to manage it and tax it appropriately?
What is behind, I mean, $20 million to $200 million, that's a pretty wide range of estimates there. What's behind that?
Just informal estimates from people that weren't necessarily working on legislation, but know a little bit in one area, know a little bit in another. But it wasn't so much the dollar amount. It's when I have to give advice on these types of tax matters, I mean, this isn't a tax, but it'll operate like that. Then you have to say, how much weight should we put on that particular one informing policy related to education spending or something important like that? And right now it makes me a little bit uneasy, but I'm sure we'll know more as another month or two goes by.
Steve, when you look at the number of people who might be willing to bet money on a particular sports game or put money on how a team does in a season, people are already doing that in Arizona, right? Just not within the scope of the law.
That's correct. There's a lot of gambling that's going on right now today. The estimates at a national level are $150 billion worth of sports betting. And, of course, not all of that is taking place in Las Vegas, which is really the only place until recently that's been able to have a full-scale sports bar. So I think that that's one of the big issues behind what Jim is discussing, and that is this great variance in the amount of revenue that will be generated. First, it's always important to make sure you know what terms you're talking about when we say revenue. $150 billion is handle. That's total amount wagered. It's not total amount wagered after prizes are paid or total amount after wagers, prizes are paid, and operating expenses are paid. So there's a series of things in there. And to be frank, you know, the media has been a little bit lax on, or maybe a little bit loose on which the standard is, because it makes it sound awfully big. I think that the big issue, though, the real issue here is how much from the illegal gambling market can we expect will come into the regulated environment, and how quickly will they come into the regulated environment?
And that's probably one of the most important points on this entire topic. It's how will the dynamic impacts change over time? Are people going to change their behavior? And that's very difficult to predict. Sometimes you just have to wait and see what's going to happen.
Jim, when you talk about some of those other revenue categories, you mentioned, for example, marijuana earlier. Is it instructive at all to look at states that have legalized recreational marijuana to look at how much of the formerly illegal market sort of came to use that product legally? Are there any parallels between that and sports betting, for example?
Well, the tough thing about the black market is that you don't know, because there's no light shining on it. Like in the case of marijuana, we can look at Colorado when there are other states that are adopting this, and it's going to happen. So it's actually worthwhile for us to get in front of this so that we have good policy going forward. I feel like because we've gone through some of this, there's a little bit more history and a little bit more ability to do some mathematics. We're able to do that on medical marijuana, and eventually we can do it on recreational. But the sports betting is an additional challenge.
I agree with all of that. It's interesting. It makes a lot of sense to me. I would suggest, as it pertains to gambling, that it may be best analyzed as an increase in the amount of revenue from the casinos or the venues in which it will be located. If you have a whole bunch of new venues, maybe that's different. But if you know what your gaming revenue is, and we do know what the gaming revenue is in this state, you can come up with some pretty good approximations of how much it's going to grow. And so that helps you with the variance. So in Las Vegas, and not Las Vegas particularly, but the entire state of Nevada, the amount of that goes into sports betting itself is about 2%. Of what is their gross gaming
it's
revenue.
It's not that much.
Not that much.
Steve, when you talk about events that generate a lot of money for gambling, the Super Bowl obviously comes to mind, as does the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. The bill as it stands now excludes NCAA events. Does that potentially hurt the amount of money that could come to the state? Do you think that might change at some point?
You know, I don't think anyone is interested in, you know, in high school games and betting on that. And most jurisdictions allow betting on college sports, at least the jurisdictions that have now gone into this, college sports, Olympics perhaps. After that, no. The betting, not betting on any NCAA event, that would be, I think, a little unprecedented. And when you realize that March Madness is probably as not quite as big as the Super Bowl, but it's up there in the top two or three events from a sports betting perspective.
And Jim, presumably, if the state is looking at this as a source of revenue, excluding the NCAA tournament is a good way to depress that revenue, right?
Yeah, they'll have to be very careful. I think it has to be a balance of revenues, but it's not just being done as a way of getting revenue. It's being discussed because there's this momentum to manage something that's happening.
Well, I'm curious about that because obviously the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that sports betting is legal in this country. A number of states, as Steve referenced, are moving in the direction of allowing this. Could one make the argument that any amount of revenue the state gets from this is better than what it's getting now, which is essentially zero?
I would argue that the economics would support properly managing it. So considering these other factors, but at the same time, you know, we've been on the show talking about tax increases in sales and income and where we need to spend money. This is an opportunity to make it where we can maintain a more competitive tax structure, work on economic development, and take advantage of some revenues that are going to be coming in an industry that's going to be operating.
You know, the gaming compacts in this state provide over $100 million a year. And they have provided that kind of number very systematically and for a long time now. I think that you're right that there's, you know, when you look at the sin taxes, you don't really know how much you're going to get. And you have to be careful about that. But, you know, really what we may be talking about here is really the modernization, right, of an industry that we already have some significant history with. 15 years.
Do you think that by offering sports gambling, casinos can bring in people who maybe aren't interested in slot machines or table games or resorts and restaurants and the other stuff that is currently there?
Absolutely. It's a very different. Right now, the casinos that are largely slot machine casinos are just looking at that part of the market. It's only a fraction of the market. For the most part, sports betting people 25 to 45, 50 years of age and men. Different market.
All right. Steve Hart is a partner with Lewis and Rocha. Jim Rounds is president of Rounds Consulting. Guys, thanks a lot for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.